time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's the poster child for no cloning.
Paul LaVoy!
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. We call that around here, Jess, Valentine's Eve.
There you go, perfect. Yeah, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Great, great. City Manager Jess Knudsen in the house, and wow, I'm like bowing right here, like I'm not worthy. Police Chief Troy Sterling.
Wow. Okay.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
No, I haven't seen you in a bit.
It has been a while, yes.
Yeah, it's been a minute, because we didn't do... We might have done December, and that was it. And then the holidays, it seems like you get the MLK holiday. We'll have the President's Day holiday where you and Chief Palafis will not be on. So I won't see you till March.
I know.
Or I wasn't going to see you till March.
I go through withdrawals, so I occasionally listen to you just to hear your voice.
So I asked Jess, Jerry. I get Jerry and Jess confused because they're both the city manager status, right? So I asked her yesterday, who's going to be on with Jess? And she says, I don't know, we're still trying to figure that out. So I don't know if you drew the shortest straw, Chief, or what that was all about.
No, happy to be here.
I know. And you're in your dress blues and everything.
I am, yes.
Looks good, man. Looks really good. All right, welcome to the show. Are you guys NASCAR fans?
I am not.
You're not? I'm not, only because of the rain delays, and there's kind of an inside scoop thing on that. I'll let you behind the curtain right now, but when you carry it on radio or television, there's a lot of rain delays when it comes out of Florida this time of year.
Sure.
So I'm not a fan because of the constant, you know, monitoring of, are we in a rain delay or are we not in a rain delay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, the Daytona 500 is this Sunday, and they have coverage on our sports station starting at 11:30, and we're just starting to hype that up right now.
Fun.
And let people know the Daytona 500 will be on KNTR Sports, 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. Got a slew of sponsors for this year's broadcast, and just had Super Bowl and now Daytona 500 all on same station. So I'm not sure, but I think you can stream it at kntrsports.com. I'll get a clarification on that. So anyway, we have City Manager Jess Knudsen and of course Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling in the house.
Yes.
Love, and you're clean shaven, by the way. You're not part of the breakout beard policy.
I cannot do the facial hair.
I can't either. No. Especially, it's starting to come in gray. Right? I don't have a whole lot of gray on my head. I have a little, but no, there's a lot more. It's like 50-50 on my face, man. So, I mean, you want to make yourself look older, right? So you can buy alcohol or cigarettes, but I'm kind of past that point. So anyway, yeah, what prompted that policy though, Chief?
Oh man, so I knew going into once Chief Doyle retired that there were going to be a couple things that the employees were going to hit me up on. One of those was tattoos, and the other one was facial hair. And it was a couple topics that I had done a lot of soul searching on, and you know, communications with other chiefs and at conferences I was at. And it comes down to a couple things. One is, can we do our job professionally and still have those things, right? Which is not, you're starting to see that morph in law enforcement now.
Okay.
But for those of us who have been around a long time, that's still very difficult. Cause that's just not the norm, especially in uniform. But it ultimately came down to if it'll increase morale and we're still going to go out and do our job professionally and do what we need to do, then does it hurt? And so, that's where it comes down to a matter of personal opinion and, you know, knock on wood. Currently, we're in a pilot program, through the end of this month for the facial hair, and knock on wood, they've looked professional. So I'm happy with that. And so everybody keeps asking me, what's my decision going to be? And I keep saying, I don't know. I have a few more weeks. So.
Yeah. Do you think it'll take care of itself, especially with 120-degree days?
I think so. You've already seen it. Some of them had never had the opportunity to grow facial hair, and those tried it. And after a few weeks, they didn't care for it, so they shaved it off.
Right.
But really what I've been impressed with is the self-policing internally, right? Because a lot of our people do not want to lose that, and so they're really making sure that they're staying up on making sure it's well-groomed.
Sure. So, Jess, are you a fan of Super Troopers, the movie? You know, the meow.
Is this the transition there was pretty terrible, Paul.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess, yes.
I saw three of Havasu's finest
okay.
at a recent Kiwanis meeting.
Okay.
They were talking, they were getting a donation for the bike rodeo.
Nice.
Right? Because the helmets were so out of date. Yep. And they probably were outdated 10 years ago. So anyway, two of the guys had beards.
Okay.
One did not, but they look like Spurbury police. You know, the city cops with the beards, not the stadies that had the mustaches.
Yeah.
You know, it was just funny. It was striking, actually, with the dark uniform and everything. It was very funny. And I even mentioned it at that meeting. They look like Spurbury cops. So
anyway. I don't think you're helping with the chief's decision.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know he'll, it's not a right decision, I don't think. I really don't. I mean, as long as they're not growing it and it's in transition,
there is that phase.
Go
yeah.
on vacation and grow it out and then come back and you're a whole new man, right? You're
right.
A whole new cop. So there you go.
Yep.
But we have bigger news than beards to go with right now. You've been accredited recently. What was that like?
Re-accredited.
Yeah, re-accredited.
Re-accredited.
So yeah, I'll give the listeners a little bit of a history. So, as the state of Arizona, we have the Arizona Chiefs of Police Association, and the association had looked at bringing some type of accreditation to our state. There is federal accreditation, CLIA, and forgive me, I don't remember what it stands for, but that's a well-known accreditation process. But every state is different, and so they have different requirements. And so back 2017-18 is when they put together a commission to come up with standards that are relevant to the state of Arizona,
uh-huh.
Essentially best practices in the law enforcement arena. And so Chief Doyle actually at the time had been part of the discussions and along with Chief DeVries of the Kingman Police Department, and they were really a big proponent of bringing this accreditation to our state. And so fast forward, it ended up moving through the process, and 175 standards were initiated, and it's a voluntary program where law enforcement agencies can sign up for this program. And once you initially sign up for it, you have 2 years to get in compliance with all of those standards. And so back in 2018, we were the fourth agency to jump on the accreditation program, and along with Kingman, University of Arizona, and Marana Police Department. And like I said, you had 2 years to get that initial accreditation. We took 18 months. And at that time, I was a support services captain, and so the accreditation program was assigned to me. And so I have a little bit of intimate, you know, knowledge and background
sure,
in that.
Sure.
And so we were successful in getting our initial accreditation, and that is good for 4 years. And so we came up on our 4-year mark, and it was time to go through a reaccreditation process. And what that entails essentially is you ensure that you have all of these standards fulfilled, and you've provided proofs that you are in compliance with all of those standards. And so there's a team of people that are responsible for maintaining that program. Assessors are assigned to your agency. They come out and they spend 2 days essentially going through all of your standards, conducting interviews with various people, not just in the police department, but within the city.
Turning over a lot of rocks.
A lot, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing ride-alongs, making sure that, you know, we're not just checking the boxes, is that we buy into this program. And so once the on-site assessment is completed, those assessors do a report, and it goes in front of the commission. And we were invited in front of the commission with a recommendation for approval of reaccreditation. Myself, my Captain Kirk Cicina, Lieutenant Chad Williams, and Trudy Buller, she's our non-sworn civilian background investigator that really has filled in as an accreditation manager role. And she really jumped into this. And so as a team, we went up in front of the commission, and they sat there and asked us questions. And 40 minutes later, they voted to reaccreditate us.
Like a panel interview.
It is a panel, exactly.
Wow, very interesting. Is there anything that you were not in compliance with that you can remember?
No, we were in compliance with everything. It comes down to, and one of the things that I spoke about in front of the commission was, you know, depending on which assessors you get, because assessors range from a lot of command staff members from various agencies within the state.
Okay.
And so their agency may do it a little bit different than another agency. And so they come with their opinions on things, but essentially it comes down to, are you meeting the standard that's set? And I'll branch off into this momentarily.
Okay.
We were in compliance with everything, which is why we got the accreditation. But what the unique part is, it really has you take a deep dive into your procedures, your policies, making sure that they're up to date and that you're following them, all right, which thus is the proof. You have to prove that you're doing these things, right? But what's very unique about this is you're having input from people from other agencies, right? And it may, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here, but maybe they've figured out a secret sauce way to do something. It's like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly right. And so always looking at how to streamline processes and make us better. And so that's what's kind of cool about this whole process. We have one of our lieutenants, Frank Caden. He's also an assessor. So he's had an opportunity to go to other agencies and assess them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also helps bring information back to us on, hey, this agency was doing that. Maybe we can look into that practice.
Right, right. Well, we're always hearing about the evolution of police work now, especially with this whole defund the police movement and all that, which personally, in my opinion, is ridiculous. But I would imagine that would create some new standards that you're going to have to deal with 4 years from now. How much notice do you get if there is a new standard that you have to comply to?
Yeah, communication's very good.
Uh-huh.
There's a subgroup of that commission that's their role, is to look at, you know, we're going to have potential case law updates, we're going to have legislation changes,
right?
And so sometimes those standards, and I don't know how many times, certain standards have already been updated maybe 3 times, you know, so they keep up on those, they push that out to the agencies, and depending on where you fall in your time frame, you may have the option to jump on now or wait until a certain point in time.
Right.
And it makes sense from my perspective is that we jump on right away. I want to be in compliance all the way around. And so, we have an entity that keeps track of those things and makes sure that our standards are up to date.
I want to bring Jess back into the conversation. How much oversight do you have during this process?
Really, from my perspective, it's a hands-off perspective.
Okay.
So, you know, if the assessors are coming in, they want to see the operational level and command level of what's happening within the police department, and you know, they get to kind of show off a little bit. Yeah. You know, the things that they do on a daily basis aren't always recognized, right? And a lot of times it's criticized because you don't know the bigger picture of what's occurring. So, I was just pleased to be able to see the chief and his team go through the process, because there are lots of pats on the back, a lot of recognition in terms of what they're able to accomplish. But no, my role is easy. I stand back and watch it all unfold, and provide the accolades where they deserve, and Chief's doing a phenomenal job with and the entire police department's doing a phenomenal job out there. So very, very proud of that.
And make sure Anthony's getting the press release out, right?
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, well, I know you like country, right, Chief Sterling? But the man here, I haven't had him on for a couple months. I think Anthony and somebody else came in last time for you.
Yeah, was that last month? Was Anthony?
Yeah,
yeah,
so
did a fine job.
I didn't get my Beastie Boys fix at all.
I got to talk to you, by the way, about your nickname you gave Anthony. That was not very good.
What? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what nickname that was.
Yeah.
All right. Back He's laughing, so it must not be too serious.
Yeah.
But it sounds like I'm going to get a write up in the break.
Yeah, here it comes.
All right. 928-854-KNTR. 928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Gotta love that. Little Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
for our North Dakota boy.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I told you I ran into some guys in my complex that one of them had a South Dakota shirt on.
Yep.
And it was athletic for sure. And I said, those are the Jackrabbits, right? He says, yeah. And I says, well, we have an NDSU grad for a city manager. And he goes, oh, really? And I said, yeah, the Bison. You know them, right? He goes, well, we got a national championship, too. I go, yeah, but they got like 8 and 10 years.
Yeah, they got the last two, though. They've been doing really good.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good team. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said, tell your city manager, a big fan of the Jacks, says
there you
I.
Go. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
So there you go. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Patio Paradise. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time, a locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years, almost as old as Jess Knutson. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzy's Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature Jess's favorite sandwich, the Prius. It's an all-veggie sandwich.
The Prius, huh?
Yeah. You guys don't eat meat up in North Dakota, do you?
No, never. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So I just got a note from Rick Rigler.
Okay.
Do you know Rick?
Sure, of course.
He says, Paul Lavoie, Troy Sterling, Jess Knutson, love those guys.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, how are you? It's good to hear from you.
He says, another great show, thank you. And he's running to lunch with Brother Jim today. That's our Monday co-host, Jim Russell.
Perfect.
From DSM Events.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little shout out to Rick Rigler, because he does a great job for the Marine Association.
He's a fantastic job for the Marine Association. He's running around doing lots of things, prepping now for the boat show coming up in April.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Let's see, at the police department right now, the police facility, a little renovation going on?
A little bit, yeah.
What's going on with that? Is it? I hear there's some sewer work that's happening.
That's the first part of the project, is getting the sewer lines scoped and potentially, I guess, coated.
So could we say your office door's closed today?
No.
To keep the smell out or what?
Well, yeah, we'll see how that gets, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can't be any worse than what we've had.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I mean, old cast iron piping, you know. So, yeah, hopefully this project goes well. It's going to be a long process, but we'll get through it. And so, yeah, if there's going to be any type of closures to the public, we'll make sure we get some advance notice out.
What's the timeline on that, Jess? Do you know?
So we're looking at several months for that timeline. I think we're trying to get done by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
June timeframe, is that your
phase
understanding?
Phase one, for sure. For,
yeah, that's just phase one.
Right.
There's more work that needs to be done in that building. You know, that building has served the city and the PD very, very well for a lot of years, but we haven't been keeping up on the maintenance of it. So now the Now the bill, it's time to pay that bill. Next phase is HVAC, right?
HVAC, yep.
And that's the last phase? Is that the last of it?
That last one, yeah. 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 Those were the two big ones. The plumbing and the HVAC are the two biggest pieces of that.
Yeah. The current air cooling and heating system on there is, it's a water tower. So when it was first introduced or first built.
Not a chiller?
It's got a water tower on it.
Really?
And so there's water lines that flow through the building, cooling down the building. And that's a technology that's you see a lot in Canada.
It sounds like it'll there's a
but not a lot in Arizona.
There's a manufacturer called Solius. It almost sounds like one of their systems.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the name brand on the system is. Right. But we've been trying to extend the life of that for as long as we can. But it's time for us to take a fresh look at the entire HVAC system over there. So.
Right. The other thing I really wanted to touch on, Chief, there was a huge accident yesterday.
There was.
It was a fatal south side of Havasu. Can you get into that at all?
It's under investigation right now,
right.
But yeah, ultimately there was a vehicle that went head on with a motorhome just south of South McCulloch out there,
uh-huh,
before Sarah Park. And
started at a coma though, didn't it?
It's kind of a chaotic
south of coma.
Yeah. It's kind of there's a long drawn out story to it that we're still digging into. But yeah, ultimately it did result in the driver of the Camaro being deceased at the scene.
Yeah, I had the press release this morning while writing the news, but talk about long drawn out story and only having a short time to do stories. Yeah, that one was a little complicated, so hopefully everything resolves itself on that. And the driver of the Camaro, then he was the one at fault, obviously.
That's still under investigation, it appears.
But that's where the fatal.
Correct.
Okay.
That Camaro went head on with the motorhome.
Wow.
Yeah,
I guess the smaller vehicle took the brunt of it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
There you go.
That's a sad situation.
All right, a little country music for Chief Troy Sterling. We've got Jason Aldean. Of course, You Make It Easy. And it's for Valentine's Day too, man.
There you go, perfect.
It's a great Valentine's Day song, by the way, right? You guys are all set with your Valentine's, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Not so much.
Okay.
Not so much. I love Valentine's Day.
Maybe we can go for dinner tomorrow night.
Maybe a little break this year.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
Maybe we can go for dinner tomorrow night.
I don't like the optics on that. Back with more in a moment.
Probably a good call.
Give us a call if you have a question. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Plus, people are going to think I'm looking for another gig if I'm seen at dinner with you, man.
Nobody wants to be seen at dinner with
you. That's like Trump and Romney having dinner, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, don't tell me which one's who.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Back to Speak Out, a little Valentine's Day music, plus it's country, so we're satisfying the country genre, what would you, preference of Chief Troy Sterling. I need one of my energy drinks. I drink a special energy drink. I can't say what brand it is, but I get it locally from a vendor. And
you're out?
It the whole fog thing goes away. You know, do you ever rebuffer like all day? You're rebuffering your brain is when you're trying to think of something.
I have that feeling right now.
Just looking at me.
At this very minute, so listening to this conversation. But yeah,
it's something I don't experience at home when I watch television anymore. I have aloe now.
Okay. No more buffering.
If you go to my social media, there's a review on aloe.
Okay.
And it's got a screenshot of the up and down. The megabits per second.
The download and upload
speeds. It's everything you think it is.
Nice. Yeah.
It is amazing. I love my aloe fiber.
I think I'll be the last house in the city, or my neighborhood will be. I think I'm scheduled at the very, very end.
So. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because 90% of Havasu is supposed to be built out, according to Doc Weininger.
Yeah.
By the end of this year.
I'm the 10%.
You're the 10%. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair by Springberg Wealth Management, by Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and of course, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Had to get that combo in there. All right, and don't forget to buy local. Or it's buy local. Plus, you're contributing to the local tax base, right, yeah, Jess?
Perfect.
How is that doing right now, by the way? Are you monitoring the tax numbers, sales tax numbers?
You know, we're seeing a little bit of a slowdown plateau, probably more than a plateau, more of a slowdown in the last 6 to 10 months especially. You know, we're seeing some of that. There's more vacancies, less occupancies when it comes to short-term rentals or through the different hotels. Sales tax has been fairly sustainable or fairly consistent, but for the all the wrong reasons. I think prices have gone up, right? So you're seeing an increase in goods and services and just the ability to for groceries or restaurants or otherwise. So then, you know, I think there's less spending, but the spending that is done is keeping the sales tax where it's at. But we're just now really kind of the departments have also submitted their budgets. So now we're looking at all the different budget numbers and revenues and trying to analyze all this right now too. So there's a little bit of a concern, a little bit of a unknown as we get into the next 12 months.
So the city's collecting more because of prices. But
collecting the same.
But you're paying more.
Oh yeah,
for
no,
services.
So we're collecting the same in some categories, less than
right.
others,
or materials.
And then, the price of business has definitely gone up.
You guys want to take a phone call?
Sure.
All right, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello. I don't know if this is appropriate for this section of your show, but I see cars all around that have blacked out windows, front windows included. I thought that was illegal. I went to get my windows tinted, and the guy wouldn't tint my
right.
left side, my driver's side window, because
right.
he said it was illegal.
Let's ask the chief. Chief, that's a really good question, and with you being on the program, and I want to thank you for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Okay, go ahead, chief.
Yeah, so there is a legal requirement as far as essentially how much light needs to filter through your windows. Yes, there are vehicles that. Do over tint, they're too dark. There's a special meter that's required to read that light through those windows, and it could be a citation issued, sometimes even a fix-it ticket.
Really?
Type of situation. It's one of those gray areas because obviously we live in the desert, so it's very difficult because obviously people are trying to, reduce the heat inside their vehicles.
It does help your car cool down, especially
it
if your air conditioner struggles.
It does. It's typically yeah. it's not an offense that we go seeking out, but it is, like I said, there is those requirements that you have to abide by.
Is there ever a case where an officer, I've heard horror stories, but I really don't believe them, especially if I read them on social media. Is there ever a case where those windows are peeled? The tint, where the tint's peeled off the window, right there. The officer says, it's too dark.
Right then and there?
Yeah.
Not in my day. I haven't heard that here.
Right.
I think I would have heard about that.
Uh-huh.
But
no, I mean, there are stories out there. So people tend to exaggerate, though, when they're on social media.
Yeah.
So,
but,
you know,
I can't speak for every agency in the country either.
Ah,
so
there you go.
Has it happened? I don't, you know, maybe. Yeah.
Sure. All right. We went from talking about the sales tax collection and that, but there's also something tonight where your auditor, the independent auditor is going to give a report on the city. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we have the council meeting is tonight at 5:30, twice a month, and the public is encouraged to attend and or otherwise watch through the different resources that are available. You're right, Paul. One of the items on the agenda this evening is the presentation from a third-party independent auditor. Clifton Larson is provided the conducted the audit on all the city's financials this year. So they come in a room and they give us a list of the boxes of documents that they want to see, transactions or otherwise, and they're there to hold the city accountable for our finances and how we conduct ourselves through that process. The good news is that we have no findings. We have an auditor that comes and you don't want them to have any significant or major findings, because those are things that, that need to be corrected or shouldn't have occurred in the first place. So great job by, Jill Olson, our admin services director, Trina Ware and the team in admin services for all the work that they've done. To ensure that we're in good shape. So we'll have the auditor will be at the council meeting tonight, making that presentation to the public and to the council, and letting us know, you know, where we stand from a financial and operational standpoint. So that's that'll be tonight, and that's a very good thing. We do that every year.
You haven't had a chance to preview that report at all?
So I've seen the report and whatever else too. The presentation itself, I haven't seen their presentation for tonight, so looking forward to that presentation. But, I'm updated on that process as it unfolds.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
There's something on the agenda about playground equipment.
Yeah.
And I know from experience that can get a little spendy.
It gets, very spendy. You'd never think that sometimes the most expensive aspect of a playground is that, the safety service.
Oh, is that right?
The safety service is tremendously expensive. When I first learned about those dollar amounts, I was like, what on earth are we doing here? Can we just pay somebody to catch the kids that fall off the slides?
Wait, when I was a kid, we didn't have a safety surface. Did you ever play on a safety surface, Chief?
Yeah.
You
get enough lawsuits that come towards the city, you start investing into safety services.
I see.
We get sued for everything.
You would think, right?
Oh, yeah. Much different in our days growing up and what that looked like. So,
yeah, plus, we played on metal structures. Remember
sure.
that? And in Vegas, they got really hot in the summertime, so nobody played on them.
Yeah.
But now it's
yeah.
all plastic, and it's expensive plastic to boot.
Yeah. A lot of those fun things that we had growing up. I don't see teeter totters too often anymore either, right?
You're not going to
yeah,
either.
Yeah.
They're not really recommended by the American Dental Association, right? So anyway, where's this playground equipment going?
So we're looking at there's some playground equipment that's currently over at Jack Hardy Park, one of our best kept secrets and a well used park in the community. And so we're going to be removing the playground equipment that's over there right now, and then replacing it with new playground equipment, and then a new safety surface over in that area. And then we're going to take the playground equipment that we're removing from that area, and we're going to take it down to the Island Ballfield area. So, which would be a nice little amenity for kids, or you know, brothers or sisters, or otherwise that are maybe watching their brother play football or other activities that are soccer, other activities that are taking place down there too. So a nice little amenity that we're going to be able to move down to that location. So kudos to Mike Keene and Guy Reynolds and their respective teams for bringing that forward. And then the last item on there, several more. We have a rezone on Leonard Bridge Road, and we talk about metal buildings. We talk about final plats and the preliminary plat process. But the other one of note is we'll have an update from our airport manager. So this was a request from Councilmember Lynn and other members of the City Council. Robert Kane, who's been with us for the last several months, he'll be presenting at the council meeting on all things regarding the airport. So,
did I read in the paper where there was a shuffling of commissions, boards and commissions, with those council members that are the liaisons?
No, they had liaison assignments this year were all exactly the same.
Oh.
No changes.
No shuffling.
There was some conversation. So we had the planning session just a couple weeks ago, annual planning session for council. And one of the conversations, the topics that did come up was talking about our boards and commissions, just to make sure that we're providing them with necessary topics and mm-hmm. conversations and serving our volunteers on the boards and commissions the best way that we can. And then, you know, should we be meeting once a month, maybe once a quarter? What does that look like? So I think the council liaisons are going to be going back to their respective boards and commissions and having some of those conversations. So I think that's probably what you might have heard about or read in the local newspaper.
Right, right, right.
So Super Bowl was this last weekend.
Yeah.
Our airport was packed with private jets.
I was going to ask about airport and Laughlin Bullhead International Airport.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure
it was overflow from McCarran or what?
Overflow from Vegas. I had heard somebody
said... Oh, it's not McCarran anymore. I forgot.
Yeah.
It's Harry Reid Airport.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They made that change just several years ago.
And
right?
not very popular with a lot of locals, I want to tell you. But anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
I had heard something that to park your private jet at the Harry Reid Airport in Vegas, it was upwards of $100,000.
Whew. Well, they paid $10,000 for a Super Bowl ticket, so why not?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I guess there's certain celebrities or others that can afford that type of thing. But we got some overflow in Havasu's airport as well too. So
that did well for the FBOs then.
They will for the FBOs and, you know, a lot of
flag on the play, right?
Oh yeah. What are you doing?
Fixed based operator.
I was wondering if you're going to get that one. that could be a tricky one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Fixed based operator. That's, those that do business out at the airport,
right.
Mechanic services and fueling services and otherwise. So, but that, lots happening at the airport. Lots of major infrastructure improvements that have occurred. Brand new runway, taxiways. And then other improvements, with the areas
right.
between the taxiways and the runways and more coming on that as well, too. If I can, Paul, can I transition a little bit off the agenda and just to give a really big thank you?
You're the guest, man. It's your candy
right.
store today.
Yeah, if you want to take a break, I'll take it from here.
Yeah, run the board, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A special thank to Mark Masterson and the Republic Services team. So we reached out to them. Actually, Anthony Kozlowski from my office reached out to them a couple weeks ago on how we could partner for cleanup on Highway 95. And since that conversation, they have delivered. If we're on 95 and you're seeing a decrease in the amount of trash that's collected in our right-of-way, so you're seeing a lot of light blue bags that are full of trash on the side of the road, they have people out there on a weekly at the beginning on a daily basis and now a weekly basis, and we're supporting their efforts. So thank you to Republic Services to getting out there and picking up the trash on 95. We've seen a difference, and I think we're going to continue to see a difference. Can't wait to see the whole area cleaned up, and then they've assured us that they're going to continue to maintain that 95. So again, thank you, Mr. Masterson. Thank you, Republic Services. And we've told them whatever we can do to support their efforts, we're here for you. Maybe talking about a big effort on either Earth Day or another community cleanup day,
yeah.
Something along those lines.
There is one coming up in March, Rotary Day of Service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And then all the civic organizations, Rotary, Kiwanis, and I'm missing all of them, and I'm going to stop right there.
Lions?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know Kiwanis has a section of road right over there by Staples.
Yeah.
That we have the Adopt a Highway on that. So,
yeah, and then you're out there at least, I think, to maintain the twice a year.
A few times a year.
Twice a year.
Yeah.
All the civic organizations, all the volunteers, all the people in this community that make Havasu so great, that are willing to bend over and pick up trash and make our make it beautiful.
And that
but really need to, that helps us out. But it's a huge effort just to get everything wiped off, and then everybody can help keep it clean. So.
I don't know why more people don't get out there and pick up, because every time Kiwanis does it anyway, we find even $100 sometimes.
You get $100
bills.
But
there's always money that's found on those cleanups.
Yeah.
On the highway. But I want to go back to the Super Bowl weekend a little bit. And you had a special enforcement detail, did you not, Chief Sterling? I know some of the agencies did, but.
If we did, I don't recall, but it would have been more of a governor of highway safety.
Governor's office.
Yeah, we have overtime details related to, DUI enforcement.
Right. Was it pretty quiet out there Super Bowl Sunday?
Just normal.
Okay.
Normal. So it seemed like we've been busy in town anyway, just a lot of events the past couple months.
Right.
So every weekend there's something going on.
Speaking of which, I wanted to touch on spring break, because that'll be here before we know it. Might even be here before your next appearance on Speak Out. And it's usually like a 3-week staggered type period, depending on the college or university. But what kind of details are you looking at for spring break?
We've been very fortunate because how the schedules do work, it's not, it's, we haven't been overwhelmed with the visitors on spring breaks. We do have typically one heavier week, but this starts, March starts our, the officers that are typically assigned to our boating unit, now they revert back to their essentially summer schedule, and they start working the weekends and devoting more time into the Bridgewater Channel, at the parks, those areas down there. And so based on the college schedule, if we see that there is an influx of a certain weekend, then, yeah, we staff accordingly.
Is there some kind of special surveillance detail or anything like that? I know there's a trailer down there with some video equipment and that, right?
Typically, we only set that up. That's our command.
Command center.
Yeah, command center.
Yeah.
We typically only set that up on the major holidays. Spring break, like I said, is so spread out that we typically have not set it up for spring break. But I can't talk about the secret squirrel stuff on the surveillance side.
That's my line, man. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, all right, I want to talk about 95 coming through town. There's a huge improvement by the truck stops, if you haven't seen it.
Sure.
It's all done past the cattle guard now.
Yeah.
And but there's
up
still
by I-40.
There's still like one lane. I think it's I don't know if it's it's the north south. Wait, it's the northbound lane. Far side, the travel lane, not the passing lane. That looks like it still needs to be done. Is there a timeline on that?
I can't speak specifically to an ADAP project and their timeline there. I mean, that's their contractor, their contract, and their project. We try
probably
got to
be done before it warms up, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's still some areas where some improvements are still needed, and so I know they're still working out there, and so there's more to come. We want to see a resurface on Falls Springs Bridge, you know, or those that probably would know what I'm talking about when I say bouncy bridge, when you're traveling north.
Oh,
on,
I know
on,
which bridge that is.
On 95, yeah. And then there's a resurface of another wash, a bridge on the south side that needs to take they need to take a look at. And then when it's all said and done, we've been advocating, and it looks like they're moving forward with a pavement preservation or like a fog seal at the end of the project.
Uh-huh.
So new asphalt and then seal it. You know, when you're in the Midwest, you talk about like protecting your porch or or your wood fences and things like that. So you're putting like a seal coat on there.
Sure.
So maybe you're doing that with your furniture or whatever else too. That's, we need to do that with our asphalt as well, too. We put that protective layer, a fog seal, when it's all said and done. Talking about that with, ADOT, was that if they put the fog seal down, there's not going to be able to put any striping on the road for 30 days after that. So, want to make sure that your listeners, our residents are aware that when that fog seal goes down, you'll see the little, tab markings. But and then it's going to take another 30 days before they actually put the stripes back on the road. So, be vigilant, be careful, especially with the crash yesterday and other things that can occur. That's very good news in terms of the longevity of that road and making sure we have a really good road for a really long time. But in a little bit of a short-term pain associated with that.
Speaking of vigilant and careful, I want to go back to Chief about the WPA, the fireworks that are going on at Sarah Park starting tomorrow night, I believe, or Thursday night, and going through the weekend.
Yes.
And the observation there on some of that property around Sarah Park. A lot of people don't go into the racetrack area or whatever.
Right.
They watch from the outside. Any special enforcement there or something that people should know? Is there any type of state property or whatever that people cannot sit on it and view the fireworks from?
Well, it's a good conversation.
We got about a minute left.
Okay. We do have the state trust lands did put up additional signage out there near the city limit sign, where our Lake Havasu City sign is.
Sure.
Yeah, it's by permit only, and they need to get permits for that. But typically, those areas, Mojave County Sheriff's Office is contracted to go out and enforce, contact, educate, all of those things.
Right.
We probably won't devote our resources to that because we're going to be dealing with the traffic issues. So we do have a team that's dedicated to that event. And again, specifically more for the traffic-related component of that because it is such a large event here.
Yeah, good to know. Are you guys, did I read, in partnership with State Lands now and the Sheriff's Office? In enforcing all that land out there?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
State land has a contract with the County Sheriff's Department for the enforcement of that area.
Very good. Has that been a big problem in the past?
we've heard a lot from our residents on the south side that within a couple hundred feet or a couple hundred yards of their property, you got abandoned RVs and tents.
Squatters.
And squatters. Yeah, squatters.
Yeah.
So that, and so that's a response to that, as well as all the squatters and trash that builds up right next to Welcome to Lake Havasu.
Right, so that area right there. And, you know, back in the day, at the north side of town, there were dead palm trees where that Welcome to Havasu monument was.
Yeah.
Wasn't a good look. Speaking of bad optics, right?
Yeah, we got that cleaned up.
Right, looks good now. All right, thanks guys for being here. City Manager Jess Knudsen and Police Chief Troy Sterling, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, I'll see you soon, next month?
Sure.
All right, and I'll see you next month, hopefully.
I'm looking forward to it.
Or possibly Anthony.
Yeah.
I won't even say his nickname.
No, no, we can't.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Looks good on that neon buzzing on the wall, but darling, it don't match your eyes. I'm telling you.
All right, welcome back. A quick 15 seconds to go out with Speak Out 2.0 coming up next after news and a short break. 234-343-1065. Speak Out 2.0 coming up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.